taller than your daddy is. I just couldn't hardly believe that. We're glad to see all of you that are visiting today. And I'm thrilled to death that I got part of my family right over here together. Adeline, how are you doing, sweetie? Hudson, how are you over there? Krista, of course, and Tim, and Tabitha, and let's see, who is that almost asleep? Oh, that's MJ, no. And Mark, and all of the ones that I love so very dearly. We welcome all of you. We're glad you're here. Today is Father's Day. What a great day it is. And we want to start off by going to God in prayer. Will you bow your heads? Eternal God, our Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful day. And Father, we pray today for all of our sick. And especially, Father, do we pray for Linda, as Jeff was mentioning this morning. She wants us to remember her and all the others that are sick. Father, we thank you for our elders. And we're grateful for their wives, their family. And now we pray especially for Linda that she may soon be well. And bless all those, Father, that are so sick in the hospital, wherever they may be. We ask you to bless them and keep them. Thank you for loving us. And thank you, Father, for the church here at O'Neill. And help us to do all we can to extend the borders of thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now will you please stand? Let's sing God is So Good. I'll keep you busy for the next 30 minutes. I promise you, okay? If you possibly can, and let's all sing together. And Buzz, help me out now. Here we go. God. Please be seated. Father's Day. June 16th. Here we are. 2019. In America. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, everyone. We love our dads. And God's spoken so very much about all of us who are fathers. And today I want for a little while for us to think about some of the responsibilities that God places upon us as being fathers. Scriptures, Matt read Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It surely is right. Why? Because God said it. Honor thy father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Good reason for us as children to obey and honor our parents. But then, look what God says through Paul. And you fathers, boy, talking to a lot of people here at O'Neill, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What? Don't cause them to be angry. Don't provoke them. But do what? But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Glenn mentioned we're going to have, hopefully, 3 new deacons. Young men whom I have loved and appreciated so much. And now, looking forward to their becoming deacons in this congregation. These young men have children whom I believe are blessed to have them as their dad. And we have three elders with wonderful wives, children that we love. We have in this church so many wonderful blessings. Men who have such great capabilities of standing in this pulpit and preaching wonderful scriptural sermons. How many wonderful blessings we have. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? First right, Ephesians 6. In Malachi chapter 4, the Bible says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse." God wants children to have fathers who are tender-hearted, fathers who love Him and love their children. "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, John writes about the beautiful connection between children and their fathers. Here he uses that and he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." In Colossians 3 and verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Isaiah, in Isaiah 54, verse 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Thinking about the sermon today, I got a text. It was from Buzz Lovell. And Buzz wanted me to send him a text that I was going to be using for this sermon this morning. He ought to already known what I was going to be preaching on. And he replied after I sent him Ephesians 6, "I should have known." He did know. We're interested in daddies. We're interested in fathers, grandfathers. Yes, we're interested in the children of God. Yes, "and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord." And that's exactly what we did last week and what we want to do every week, to teach our children. "And great shall be the peace of thy children." There are three questions and the lesson will be yours. Number one, fathers, are you living before your children now? How are you living before your children now? You know, some people are blessed when they get married at 18 or 19. Don't say that doesn't happen, because a lot of us would be in that particular group. Did you become a father before you became 20? There have been some that have. And boy, what a great privilege and excitement to be a dad. There are fathers who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, older. I want you to think, fathers, number one, of a man that God knew. And the reason why God knew it was because he was so dedicated to God. "For I know him," that is Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they should keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken unto him." Let's ask some questions. Number one, what did God know? He said, "I know a man whose name is Abraham." All right, what did God know about that man? And what did he say that Abraham would do? He would command his children and his household after him. And what would they do because of Abraham? Keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment in the sight of God. Here's a man that's dedicated to God, and all fathers need to look at him and try to be like Abraham. And the Bible says what God would do for this man. And you cannot have any more blessings and greater blessings than to know that God, just like with Abraham, would bring upon them as he has spoken. You know, children have various needs. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Do you pray with your children? Daddies, I'm asking you, do you get your children together and do you pray with them every day or at least frequently? Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Do you read the Bible? And you read it out loud with your family? Are you real busy? I hope you're busy enough to do that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you worship God faithfully? Are you bringing your children to worship? Are you glad when they say, let's go into the house of the Lord? Or are you sad? And do you get mad when somebody suggested that you ought to be there with your children? Number two, what do you plan to leave these children? Well, many of us are older. We don't know how long we'll have up on the earth. Nobody does. What are we going to leave them? What we're giving them right now. Yes, most of the parents die before their children. Will they have a memory? I mean a memory of a home where there was a daddy that showed and demonstrated his great love for his wife, their mother. I don't think you could do a greater thing as far as your children are concerned than to show your children that you love and appreciate their mother. You respect them. You talk kindly and complimentary about her. Yes? What do you plan to leave? Let's use Joshua. Boy, wasn't he a great man of God? Look what the Bible says concerning Joshua. The Bible says, and if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Let it seek in your heart. As for me, my house, my family, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Can't do any better than that. Make up your mind. Yes, children need spiritual guidance. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And you know they need physical needs. I want to ask you, fathers, have you told your children that you love them? Set them down. Look at them. Let them know how precious they are to you. God loves us. He told us how. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. We know that He loves us because of what He's done. Yes, children need to be treated fairly. Don't punish them for something they see you do. God says we have the example. Fathers, you have that example following after the steps of Jesus in 1 Peter 2:21 and in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before your children. They can read you. They need proper discipline, yes. Why? The Bible says, train up a child. What does that mean? Train up a child. Show him. Let him know how he is to live. I told you of a story one time with a man up north. It was during the wintertime and it snowed. And the dad had gone down to the barn. He had left his footprints in the snow. In a little while, his little son hollered out to him, turned around, And his son was following and trying to walk in the steps of his daddy in the snow. He said, "Daddy, I'm coming." And he was trying to walk in the steps of his daddy. Oh, fathers, are you listening to an old father? Oh, how I wish I had time to go over. I wish that I knew then what I know now. There wouldn't be anything that would be so important as my own children. They need quality time with you. Go to now, ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we'll go into a certain city and we'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. No more time. Tim, I'm going to tell a story about you and me. You may remember this. Tabitha was not with us at that time yet. But one day I was feeling guilty. I'd been going in meetings and doing all this and the other. And suddenly I felt, you know, I haven't spent much time with my own son. And I told Tim, the whole afternoon is yours. Tell me, what do you want us to do? I just knew the first thing would come out of his mouth, since we live almost down the street from Woolco, that's a long time ago, but that he would say, "Dad, let's go to Woolco." But he didn't. I never will forget. He said, "Let's just fix a lunch." And we had a big field out there near our house. "And let's go down there, Dad, just you and I, and spend the afternoon together." And I asked him, I said, "You don't want to go to Woolco?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Why, son?" Because he said, "You'd meet somebody that knows you." And he knew then the afternoon would be gone. I don't know if he remembers a lot about that. But son, I never will forget it. One of the most pleasant afternoons with my boy. Most of us have made a lot of mistakes. Will you admit those faults? Get them corrected? There we can't go back and relive time. But we can sure do something now, can't we? And that is give our attention to our children. All of sin comes short of the glory of God, Romans 6, verse 23. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Getting your life right. Fathers, do you want your children to live like you? Put God first. Show them how important they are to you, and do everything you possibly can to walk in the light. A small boy's definition of Father's Day, he said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much." I thought that was pretty good. Another one said, "A father is a man who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be." Pretty good. Paul Harvey said, "A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship of a child's eyes. One day, the father dies and leaves everything." And he said, "One day that they lose and the bet's paid off to the part of them that leave behind." Yep. I read a real interesting article by Mike Willis. It was written and recorded in Truth Magazine, and it was in on September the 1st, 1977. And here's a few things that he advises with regards to do not provoke your children to wrath. The Bible emphasizes the need. Number one, cruel and harsh punishment. He was telling about a story he read about up in Tennessee about a little girl whose stepfather made her continuously walk, because she'd done something that displeased him. Never have understood as a result of that story why and where the mother was. But as the story goes, made that little girl 4 or 5 years of age just continuously walk. And when the child is asking and begging for water, this stepdaddy took some water, he drunk it, and gave her to drink Tabasco sauce. Can a man be so cruel to hurt his child like that? Cruel and harsh punishment. Be careful. Number two, he said, unjust punishment. Sometimes children are punished when they do not deserve to be spanked or to have privileges taken away from them. Sometimes the parent comes home from a bad day of work totally frustrated, and guess who he takes it out on? You're right. On the children. And the child can detect this. He knows that he was punished unjustly, and he grew up hating the parent who habitually acts that way. Three, inconsistent punishment. And I really appreciate what Mike wrote on this. Brother Franklin Puckett, whom I worked real close with over in the Sheffield area, and some of you may remember him, a giant man of a preacher. He was visiting with Mike and his family in their home. And Mike had a daughter, and she was misbehaving. And Mike said that he mentioned to them, if you do that again, I'm going to give you a spanking. Have you ever heard of that? If you do it one more time, and they do it 2 or 3 more times, you don't give them a spanking. And Brother Puckett then called him over to the side and said, Brother Willis, I want to try to help you with something. You promised to give that child a spanking, but you didn't spank them. When would they really know they're going to get a punishment of spanking if you don't carry out your word? And Mike Willis wrote and he said, you know, I thank God for Brother Puckett because he's helped me to be more consistent in my discipline. Number four, show impartiality, one child over another. Ah, he said, sometimes we've try to compare children. Every child is different. They're important. One child may be wanting to read all the possibly can, all the books. Others may just want to be out and working outside. But the one thing that I thought that was so important in what he had to say was this. Neglect. Just neglect them. Don't have any time for them. You're busy. You got important things to do. But my friend, don't neglect the most important ones to you. Your own flesh and blood. The little boys and the little girls that we saw up here with Matt this last week in Vacation Bible School. Boy, he took a picture of all of them. It's absolutely beautiful. Ann and I were sitting right over there, and those little children were walking out and started counting them. Every one of them so precious in the eyes of God. Such a great group of children. Fathers, don't neglect them. They need you, like the little boy came in, his daddy was reading the newspaper, and he said, oh, you want something? Here's a quarter. Go out and get something to eat, or get you something. After a little while, he came back, and he said, you want some more money? And the little boy looked at his daddy, and he said, Daddy, I want you. I want you. And when those little arms stretch up to you, make sure your arms go out to take them in your arms and remember them. In conclusion this morning, I want to read you a poem that I found. And in this poem, it talks about a father. And it's called, To Any Little Boy's Father. Their little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. Their little ears that quickly take in everything you say. Do y'all agree with that? Okay. Their little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day, he'll be like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do, he will say and do in your way when he's grown up just like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do, for the little boy's waiting to grow up and be like you. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I love Matt Taylor's little children's drill class on Sunday night. Bring your children to that class. I guarantee you'd be excited about it too. Little Cal, I love to see him. He loves to get up there and lead singing. Boy, he just volunteers. He's just excitable to see all of our children are. Let's do all we can, fathers, to be the kind of daddies that they deserve. If you're not a Christian this morning, they deserve you to be a child of God. And God wants you to be in that family. He wants your children to be in that family. God is inviting you to come to Him. If you're in this assembly this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, won't you do that now? And if you have not been faithful to the Lord, ask God to bless you and strengthen you. And just remember, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Softly and tenderly, we're extending to you the invitation of Jesus. If you're subject in any way, won't you come while together we